This is Trends and Issues in Instructional Design, Educational Technology, and Learning Science, hosted by Abby Brown and Tim Green.
Hi, this is Tim, and I'm here with Abby.
Hi, this is Abby, and I'm here with Tim.
Welcome to episode 166 of our podcast, where we review the trends and issues in instructional design, educational technology, and learning sciences that we observed as we flipped resources into our Flipboard magazine over the past 2 weeks. In this episode, we have four trends that we will discuss, along with a recommended reading that we'll share that goes along with each of the four trends. We end the episode by peering into the crystal ball and making predictions about the trends we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. So Abby, start us off by talking about our four trends and sharing our recommended readings.
Thank you, Tim. Yes. Well, let's see. Our four trends, our number one trend actually had more than three times the number of articles flipped into our Flipboard magazine than any of our other trends this episode. Teaching and learning online was without a doubt the most the highest trending topic of the past 2 weeks. And there's good reason for that. And I'm sure that all of our listeners are very aware of how much time and effort we are all putting into examining, re-examining, and developing online learning opportunities. So we've seen this before, but we saw an article about online teaching as a gig economy, that the idea being that some educators are finding a kind of a new revenue stream by developing courses on their own that they teach through either independently or through groups like Udemy, where they put up their course and then they share in the revenue from that. We saw a huge number of articles about online teaching strategies, ranging the full range from here's how to live stream your class, all the way to here's how to develop completely asynchronous engaging opportunities. We saw announcements of support centers and sites at higher education institutions. Vanderbilt put out an interesting press release about its own support center for teaching and learning online, and IU put out a number of recommendations from its support center. Our recommended read in this area is What Worked This Spring? Well-Designed and Delivered Courses by Doug Lederman for Inside Higher Ed. And I want to point out my apologies for any mispronunciation of any of the author's names as we talk about our recommended readings. But Mr. Lederman's article is a synthesis of two major studies that look at how students and professors viewed their remote teaching and learning experiences recently from the past spring. And well, you and I were talking about this before. We both agree it's a really good in-depth article about what people found worked well. And from the point of view of all of us as educators, this is an important article. Number two, again, very popular articles. You know, we flipped a number of these, were reopening schools related articles. We're coming up on the reopening of the school year, the new school year, in the Western Hemisphere, in the Northern Western Hemisphere. And we're seeing a number of articles that are concerned about this, that are promoting certain aspects, certain viewpoints, internet access issues for those schools that are reopening and going to hybrid models, giving teachers and staff medical grade personal protective equipment. This is actually one article that came up on CNN, but I think you and I, Tim, agree. We feel like we want to at least mention this because it's an important concept. Teachers should have the most protective equipment, you know, the best protective equipment available. They should not be relying on their own cloth masks that they're bringing in. They should have medical grade PPE if they are dealing in large groups, and if we are expecting them to continue to deal with large groups, even though social distancing is being proposed and recommended and charted out for everyone. The American Academy of Pediatricians, there were a couple of different articles about their input and their view on reopening schools. Of course, their view, it's all part of a larger debate, and everybody is trying to debate about how best to keep everybody safe. And so, of course, the American Academy of Pediatricians is looking at its own research and saying, children do better when they're around other children, that reopening the schools can be a very positive thing for kids and social development in particular, and for learning. And I personally don't disagree, but the same pediatricians are also concerned about the health issues and the safety issues. So we're all worried about that. Blended hybrid learning, as we mentioned a little bit before, learning strategies. There were a number of articles about how to best approach a blended learning strategy or hybrid learning situation. There were also articles about the teachers' unions arguing about reopening schools or how best to reopening schools. Probably the best example is the teachers' union filing suit in Florida against the Florida's proposed strategy for reopening. There were also a couple of articles about lessons learned from around the world, from other places that have reopened their schools before the United States has, or the North American continents. So our recommended read is actually along those lines. The recommended read for this topic is How to Reopen Schools, What Science and Other Countries Teach Us, by Pam Bellock, Apoorva Mendavili, and Benedict Carey for the New York Times. It's a rather in-depth article that explains, uses as cases, a number of different strategies that were employed around in other schools internationally. And it can really tell us a lot about what worked and what was challenging. Number three, a topic near and dear to our hearts. This one comes up with tremendous regularity over the years and years of our episodes, hardware and software. There was a Mac operating system update up to 10.15.6. There's a Windows 10 security update. Skype has its own updates. You can now blur the background in Skype. Huawei DigiTrucks in Africa. The opportunity to use trucks to help with internet and connectivity for people who are in very remote regions. Our recommended read in this area, we recommend with a big smile on our faces, because it's still summertime and you need to enjoy yourself a bit. The inventor of the emoticon tells all, I've created a virus, by Tarpley Hitt for the Daily Beast. As some of you may know and some of you may not know, July 17th was World Emoji Day. The first emoticon was actually proposed in 1982. And this is a really interesting article with the person who made the proposal, with a lot of text that actually shows it's kind of archival. You can see what the discussion was in 1982 as to what set of characters might indicate that someone was joking or being sarcastic in all text communication. Number four, getting back to a little more seriousness here, number four topic is security and citizenship, that is digital citizenship. We saw a number of articles about TikTok concerns. TikTok as an app and its use still continues to be something that is worrisome to some organizations in the U.S. and in Europe, Zoom issues and updates, and cheating in online courses. And that is our recommended read. Our recommended read is California Mom Gets 5 Weeks in Prison for Son's Online Class Cheating, by Alana Durkin-Ricker. She writes for the Associated Press, but this was carried in the Mercury News.
And this is not a joke.
This is not a joke. We were talking about this earlier, Tim.
Right.
This is sort of fascinating to me, like grimly fascinating, that
right.
I did not realize that people could actually pay other people to take their classes, but not just individuals. Like there's groups, businesses that say, okay, yeah, tell us which class you'd like us to take for you and we'll do this. Now, in this case, this is the part that we were kind of chuckling about. In this case, the mother paid for a number of different courses for her son to have taken for him. And in one of the courses, the company she paid was only able to get a C in the class. And she apparently made some comment about looking for either a refund or at least a partial refund because of the mediocre grade received. Well, there you go, Tim. Tim, those are our four trends and our four recommended readings for this episode.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but it's there. Read it.
Eye-opening. It's yeah, eye-opening. It is.
Okay, thanks, Abby. Now we peer into the crystal ball and make predictions about what we believe we'll observe in the upcoming 2 weeks. As we normally do, we talk before we come on air and we throw around ideas of what we believe we'll see. If you followed us for a number of episodes, you probably can guess some of what we believe we'll observe. But what did we talk about? We talked about
online teaching and learning.
Yeah, it's on a lot of people's minds, right?
Right, and it's just going to be more and more on people's minds. I think for a good reason.
It's become
something we're focused on, but we want to do it well.
Right.
So I think that's the reason we're going to see just more and more articles about supporting good online teaching.
Yeah, yeah, quality online teaching. We also talked not just about reopening schools, but back to school. I mean, we're getting to that in North America. We're getting back to that time of year, so we'll see a variety of articles related to that.
Yes, we're going to see a lot about reopening schools, especially as the pandemic progresses and as we see what happens. Again, our crystal ball isn't that accurate in that area. We're not health professionals, but whatever happens in the health area is going to strongly affect how we approach reopening schools and keeping schools open.
Yeah. And we had a few more, Abby, a few more portraits.
Well, hardware and software, of course, right? We're definitely going to see that. Yeah. But we're also, yes, Tim, and we suspect we'll see more about security and citizenship, mm-hmm. as we often do. But we also talked about how we're going to see more and more articles about how we as a society approach education in general, mm-hmm. especially higher education.
Right. Yeah, we've noticed some articles out there about the future of education or higher education, and so definitely I think there'll be more on that topic.
Yes. So we're going to, you know, what constitutes a good education? What constitutes value for the learning involved? A lot of this has to do with people's willingness to pay for online courses or what they find valuable about going to a brick and mortar face-to-face institution. So these are all issues that have come up in sort of the ivory tower over the years, you know, kind of smaller conversations among education professors, but it's now become much more of a public discussion.
So we
expect to see much more of that in the coming months. Well, that's what we have, Tim. That's what the crystal ball shows us so far.
Well, thank you, Abby. So that brings us to the conclusion of episode 166 of our podcast. We'd like to thank our followers and viewers of our Flipboard magazine and our podcast subscribers. You can listen to past episodes of our podcast and find the URLs to our recommended readings by visiting our website at trendsandissues.com. Our next episode will air on August 3rd.
This podcast is produced by Professor Abby Brown at East Carolina University and Professor Tim Green at California State University, Fullerton. Copyright Abby Brown and Tim Green, 2019.